Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Tell me what you want to be when you get older.
Fashion designer.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be a model.
I want to be a songman.
I want to be a singer.
I want to be an actress.
I want to be a model.
Yay!
Welcome, boys and girls, moms and dads, and Nana and Poppy and aunts and uncles and babysitters and people who just care. We are so excited because Starfish is here with us too. We have someone definitely wonderful that they will all love to hear from.
Oh, yes, definitely. Boys and girls, it's going to be a fun night.
And it's something I know they're looking outside going, but it's not dark outside.
It certainly isn't, but it's important to stay with our routine.
And with that, you know they don't want to come inside because it's still light outside. So those boys and girls, especially even on the West Coast, they're not ready to come in. And I don't know, do you hear them?
Boys and girls, we have to come inside and get ready for our bedtime stories. Come on, boys and girls. Only a few more minutes. We need to get ready for bedtime.
Come on in. You don't have to be the last one on the slide.
Okay, one more jump. All right, boys and girls, get ready. We have a fun evening.
Yes, Starfish does. And Starfish, who do we have visiting Aunt Jill's Bedtime Stories at Blake Radio Network? Who is here?
It's going to be so much fun, boys and girls. You guys are going to in store for so many wonderful things. We have tonight Aubrey Lynch.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good evening. Just kidding.
Time for a nap, huh? Well, you've definitely come to the right place, but only it's good night.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us. And one of the things that we know and we've read about is that you do love children and kids, and you do so many good things with them.
Yes, I teach dance, theater, visual arts, and music. And I work with kids from ages 2 to 17, currently as the director of dance and musical theater at the Harlem School of the Arts in New York City. And I also have my own group of kids called Mr. Aubrey Show Kids, and we make shows together.
Wow. Wait, Starfish. Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's awesome. Productions all around.
Yes, and I can just imagine that he probably has kids that are just as excited like we have trying to get them inside when they have to go into the studio.
Yes,
oh, that's
I
right,
and
they work very hard with the schoolwork, too.
What did you say?
Yeah, they have to work very hard on their schoolwork, too, because sometimes I work with professional kids, too, that actually perform as a career already at 10 years old, too.
Mm. So you have, I know, so Starfishy not only has these energetic kids, they have to do schoolwork, so that means that he has to be have to have discipline sometimes to get them to do what they're supposed to do, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, you know what we do over here is we try to have a routine, because that's the only way that you can be able to get things done. And I know that Mr. Aubrey understands routines.
Absolutely, every day.
And Starfish, do you want to get the boys and girls on the right track and introducing them to the bedtime routine? Boys and girls, you all know, but let's hear.
Yes, boys and girls, our routine is, I know you certainly haven't memorized, but it's very important to review. As we approach summertime, your routine may slightly change because you may have a sleepover or what I just learned from a little friend of mine, a late-over, which means you stay late as you can at your friend's house until you're about to fall asleep, and then your mommy and daddy pick you up. So you are in store for a wonderful summer, but it's really important to stay to your routine. The first step, of course, is you need to fill that belly to get your energy, is have dinner. And if you may have played before dinner, is also to make sure that you clean up. Once you clean up and have your dinner, you get ready for bath time. After bath time, you wash your face, brush your teeth, and get ready for bed. And lay out your favorite PJs. We've had a lot of kids on our show telling us their favorite PJs. It may be Spider-Man, Tweety Bird, Donald Duck, many different favorite PJs. So
I wonder what Mr. Aubrey,
uh-huh.
Starfish, I wonder what Mr. Aubrey's, what his favorite PJs are.
My favorite PJs are Nike gym shorts.
That sounds comfortable.
Very comfortable.
All right, the bedtime list, boys and girls.
At night, before you get tucked in, you check your bedtime list. There's lots to do before you sleep. So what could you have missed? Did you brush your teeth?
Yes.
So check that off your list. Are your PJs on?
Yes.
all break, isn't that a lot to do before you even start your day and getting ready to go to sleep?
Yes, sounds like it to me. Sounds like it to me.
And I bet you when the dances come, all the things that they have to do, a long list, and sometimes they're like going, they're saying, do I have to do all those things first?
Absolutely, they have to do that. That's what we call discipline, or just healthy habits that we have to do every day, every morning, and every night. Some things like washing out your dance clothes for tomorrow, or stretching your hamstrings, the muscles behind your legs. Sometimes you read your notes for tomorrow. If you learn some choreography, you want to check that out before you go to bed. And sometimes I even have a list of things to do for the whole week. I look at that before I go to bed, too.
So, Starfish,
yeah.
Isn't that something? Not only the kids have to, but the teacher. Isn't that something?
Yeah. He has a list, too.
Do we have any special song that kind of gets the kids in the mood with the audience out there with what kinds of things they might hear, especially for a ballet class?
Yes, we do. Boys and girls, have you ever taken a ballet class or a dance class? There's so many types of dance nowadays. It's definitely filled with a lot of energy, a lot of moving, and great excitement. So here we go, boys and girls.
That might be familiar to some of the kids, or maybe even when you were younger and went to class.
Absolutely. I remember as soon as I began to play, I remember being at the ballet bar and wearing my ballet slippers and stretching my legs. And for the kids that might not know, the reason why we play music when we dance is because your body, when it grows, it responds better to repetition. So when you stretch your legs to the front or to the side or the back and the side, if you do it without music, your body will learn to do it properly eventually. But if you have music playing and you go one and a two to the side and a two and the back and a two, the body remembers and it grows faster.
Wow. It makes me even flow. It makes me want to even wave my hand and move my foot.
That's right.
So it does work. Wow, my goodness. Boys and girls, look what we're learning. And we just heard Mr. Aubrey said that he did this when he was younger. How did you even know that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I was very lucky. My parents wanted us to be involved in the arts. And so we learned to play the violin. And my mom took me to take tap classes, which is the dancing that has the metal taps on your shoes. You can make rhythms. And we took ballet classes and gymnastics. We took art classes, and I always joined the school choir and tried to do the school play, too. I liked to be doing anything that was creative. My brothers were more like athletes. They liked to play football and basketball and baseball, but I liked to draw and to sing and to dance. And I was very lucky that my parents, they let us all be very unique. So they knew that my brothers liked sports and I liked the arts, so they let us do everything.
And it seems as though they kept you involved in things that you were interested in. And even if you didn't know you were interested in it, by the time you tried all of those things, you were able to find out what you liked to do best.
That's right. I was very lucky that they wanted us to try all kinds of things, but I was even luckier when I realized that I began to choose things that I liked based on all the things they let us try. They let us focus on those things that we were really best at and felt most comfortable doing. I was very blessed for that.
And that certainly probably builds confidence in yourself, too.
Absolutely. One of the greatest gifts I think my parents gave me was confidence in my decision-making. They let us choose. Of course, they were our parents, and they guide us. We had very strict rules. But there's certain things they would say, where do you want to play, the violin or the piano, for example? And we had to decide ourselves. And once we chose the string instrument, that's what we played. So by the time I got older, when it came time to very big decisions, like going to college and moving to New York City to become a dancer, I had the confidence to do that.
And that's what's real important, because no matter what anyone says or does, if there's something that you like doing and you feel very comfortable with doing it and you feel very adamant and you're practicing all the time and you're wanting to do it, then you will get the support that you need to do. And that's what happened with the little girl that Star is going to read with, called Amazing Grace. I don't know if Mr. Aubrey heard about Amazing Grace from Mary Hoffman, but she was a young lady that wanted to dance, and her classmates didn't think that she should.
I know that story. I had the same problem when I was dancing. I was bullied quite a lot when I was a kid because I did like things that were unique. They weren't what my friends thought were normal. My friends wanted me to play dodgeball and go run around outside, and I preferred to draw and sing. So they teased me, and they teased me so badly, my parents had to change schools 3 times. It was really bad. And finally I decided when I was in high school that I was not going to be bullied around anymore, and I was going to do whatever I wanted to do. And I'm so happy that I had the courage to make the decision, because deciding to dance really changed my entire life. I moved to New York City, became a professional dancer with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, and traveled the world to 20 countries. And then ultimately went on from The Lion King and performed in 40 countries because I followed my dreams.
And you know, boys and girls, we're going to talk about that even further because we can't let that go by. But I did want to emphasize to you or stress that Mr. Aubrey was bullied too, and he did some things to make sure that that didn't happen, because it is a lonely feeling to feel bullied. And his parents were right there to support him.
That's right. I think it's very important when kids are feeling bullied to not be ashamed of it. You don't be embarrassed by it. Go find a teacher, a counselor, your parents, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, anyone that you trust, and make sure they know what's going on and they come to the school and find out what's happening to try to help and support you. Because quite often the people that are bullying you, they're just scared. They're just afraid because they don't want to be bullied. And so I learned to not make the bullies the villains. I learned to try to go to adults and get help.
Okay, boys and girls, do you have that favorite PJ? And do you have that little snuggly teddy bear that you always have with you? And do you have that favorite toothbrush? Have you done all those things? Well, now get into that very comfy comforter, because Starfish is going to start us off with Amazing Grace.
Exactly, boys and girls. Are you ready? Are you ready to take a trip to Dreamland? Not quite yet. I know you're not that tired, but this at least will open up that door. Make sure Grandma and Grandpa are ready.
Starfish, you know that Grandpa is going to fall asleep before the story is over.
Exactly. Here we go, boys and girls. Amazing Grace. Now, Grace was a girl who loved stories. She didn't mind if they were read to her or told to her or made up on her own in her own head. She didn't care if they were in books or movies or out of Nana's long memory. Grace just loved stories. After she had heard them, and sometimes while they're still going on.
Grace would act them out, and she always gave herself the most exciting part. Grace was into a battle as Joan of Arc and wove as a wicked web on Anastasia the Spider. And she hid inside the wooden horse at the gates of Troy. She went exploring for Lost Kingdom. She sailed the seven seas with a peg as a leg and a pirate. She was also sitting by the shining big sea water in the backyard. Also, she went through the jungle and fought the king of the land. Most of all, Grace loved to act out adventure stories and fairy tales. When there was no one else around, Grace played all the parts herself. She set out to seek her fortune with no companion but her trusty cat, and found a city with streets paved in gold. Or she was Aladdin rubbing his magic lamp to make the genie appear. Sometimes she can get Mom and Nana to join in with her, when they weren't too busy, of course. Then she was the Dr. Grace, and their lives were in her hand. One day, Grace's teacher said they would love to do the play Peter Pan. Grace knew what she wanted to be. When she raised her hand, Roz said, "You can't be Peter Pan. That's a boy's name." But Grace kept her hand up. "You can't be Peter Pan," said Natalie. "He isn't black." But Grace kept her hand up. "All right," said the teacher. "Lots of you want to be Peter Pan. So we'll have auditions next week. Choose parts." She gave them words to learn. When Grace got home, she said, "What's the matter?" said Mom. Roz said, "I can't be Peter Pan because I'm a girl." "Thanks. That just shows what Roz knows," said Mom. "A girl can be Peter Pan if she wants to." Grace cheered up, and then later she remembered something else. "Natalie says I can't be Peter Pan because I'm black," she said. Ma looked angry, but before she could speak, Nana said, "It seems that Natalie is another anything you want. You can do anything, Grace, if you put your mind to it." On Saturday, Nana told Grace they were going out. In the afternoon, they caught a bus and a train into town. Nana took Grace to a grand theater. The sign outside read, "Rosalie Wilkins and Romeo and Juliet in sparkling light." "Are we going to the ballet?" Nana asked Grace. "We are, honey, but first, I want you to look at this picture." Grace looked up and saw a beautiful young ballerina in a tutu. Above the dancer, it said, "Stunning new Juliet." "That one is little Rosalie from back home in Trinidad," said Nana. "Her granny and me, we grew up together on the island. She's always asking me if I want to have tickets to see Rosalie dance. But this time I said yes." After the ballet, Grace played the part of Juliet dancing around her room in an imaginary tutu. "I can be anything I want," she thought. On Monday, the class met for auditions to choose who was best for each part. When it was Grace's turn to be Peter, she knew exactly what to do and all the words to say. She had been Peter Pan all weekend. She took a deep breath and imagined herself flying. When it was time to vote, the class chose Raj to be Captain Hook and Natalie to be Wendy. There's no doubt who would be Peter Pan. Everyone voted for Grace. "You were fantastic," whispered Natalie. The play was a big success, and Grace was an amazing Peter Pan. After all, it was over. She said, "I feel as if I could fly all the way home." "You probably could," said Ma. "Yes," said Nana. "If Grace put her mind to it, she can do anything at all." The end.
That was a great story, and I know that Mr. Aubrey has felt some of those things, just like the grandma was for your parents when they were bullied. They were the person that comforted.
Absolutely.
Grace and you.
Absolutely.
Yep, so can you in some ways relate to what was going on?
Of course, and I especially can relate to the flying part, because when I danced, I certainly felt like I was flying. I was certainly free.
Oh, and boys and girls, if you see Mr. Aubrey dance, you would feel the same way, that he could actually fly like a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you decide parts? Because you saw how everyone there at first were already assuming that she couldn't do it, and they didn't want her to even be the ballerina.
That's right. Well, I think you have to know in yourself, like she did, that this is what she that's what you want to do. Luckily, my parents, because they trained me to make decisions when I was very, very young, by the time I decided that dancing was what I wanted to do, it was a voice inside of me. It was very strong and very clear. I just loved to dance, because when I danced, I felt big and powerful. I knew that no bullies could ever touch me if I was dancing.
See, boys and girls, when you pick, you're right, Starfish. I heard that. It was fearless.
Yes.
Definitely fearless. And I know that what you have to do, and Starfish, do we have anything like a song that talks about stretching? Because that's one of the important things that you have to be able to do as a dancer, is you have to be able to stretch.
Exactly.
Now, Mr. Aubrey already told us that stretching is extremely important as a dancer. And even if you're exercising, it's extremely important.
Right. And even if you're not a dancer, even if you just like basketball and football, stretching is important for sports as well.
And that does help prevent injuries, doesn't it, Mr. Aubrey?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Aubrey's show kids, they all know that that's something that they have to do. Now, they are going to meet during the summer, and he already told us what ages they are. And being a dancer, I think, is very special, because you are in control of your body.
Well, you try to be. I think that dancing, like anything that you want to do, you want to always be your best. And so you kind of create this ideal perfection of jumping your highest and doing as many turns as you can and switching your legs as high as you can. Even though you know you might never be able to really do it, you always keep trying, every day doing your best. And that's why the stretching and the jumping and the practicing of turns and going off your movement is very important. But also studying your lines, if you're going to have any words to speak, like if you're going to be an actor, or working on your song and practicing your scales and your technique for singing or drawing. You have to do all of that stuff over and over again. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time sometimes.
And I know that you probably want to tell them how you feel when you succeed, when you've been working on doing this leap and all of a sudden you're in the air and all the work that you've done, you can see it.
Right, and what's wonderful about it is if you do it enough, you can do it kind of without thinking. It feels natural. When you start it the first time, you practice doing a leap and you land funny or you might stumble or slip. You keep practicing and you do it over and over again and eventually you can do it and it feels like walking. It feels easy and then you can practice performing and feeling like you're flying.
It sounds just like what you told us, that you are getting your body to have this memory, and that's why you use the music, because it can do it without even thinking about it, just like blinking
right.
your eyes.
That's right. In fact, in English we say it's called rehearsal, when we rehearse over and over again. But in French, the word for rehearsal is repetition, which is repetition.
Oh, starfish. Look, we're learning some French words. And I have one poem that I would like to share called Dance With Me, and it's by Barbara Jester Ebsen. And Barbara Jester Ebsen won a National Council of Teachers on English with her book because she wrote a lot of things called Dance With Me. Now, you talked about that while maybe you might not be dancing, but you might be doing something ordinary every day, and it feels as though you are doing a routine. Now, this one is from, it's called Gardner. Bend, straighten, fast, slow. She's teaching you a stiff little dance to the hoe. Back and forth, push and pull. The buckets of weeds is nearly full. Earth hums, bees nose. Daisies and pansies grow to the sunlit rhythm of mother's hoe. That wasn't even a routine. But boys and girls, it sometimes seemed as though it was, if you look at it. Are you sleepy yet, boys and girls? Are your eyes getting tired? Are you starting to yawn? Now, you know, Mr. Aubrey, starfish comes from the ocean, so she's in a little different situation than some of us. She's always in something that's bright and colorful.
Certainly.
Now, do you want to share, starfish, a poem?
I just love hearing your poems. They're so wonderful. Right now, I'm dancing in the ocean.
And I have definitely a poem that I would like to share. It's called Bubbles. Because the ocean, when the waves go back and forth, there is bubbles there. And boys and girls, when you took a bath today, there was bubbles. Now this is the same from Barbara Jester Ebsen. Bubbles, just air blown there, made round and hollow and fragile and thin with rainbow skin, and more to follow to float in the sky to go dancing by, a dance of breath that has learned to fly. Now, that is something that we know that Mr. Aubrey and his show kids have to do. I'm sure they do dances that they just make them up just on the spot. Ad lib.
That's right. That's one of the things that makes the summer camp unique, is that we learn to sing popular songs, but we also write songs together. So if kids like to do poetry, or if they like a certain kind of song, or maybe they even like to rap or break dance, we take all of that stuff that the kids bring to us and we create works with it. So we will write songs, we'll create choreography together, we'll create the characters, we'll create the costumes and the set, and we'll make a brand new show that we all wrote, choreographed, and directed together. That's the idea.
Wow. So they all feel like they have part of this. It's not
That's just right. The
instructor telling them what to do.
Exactly. They all help part of the creation, so they have ownership. It's their show, too.
Wow. How exciting.
That certainly would be very exciting. And I know that we do all kinds of things to make the kids feel a part of the show. And they share all kinds of things with us. They share their pajamas. They share their routine. They share their Nana and Poppy with us.
They certainly do.
And they also share, well, we share a book, and that's what we're going to do. Debbie Allen, and I know you know who that is, Mr. Avery. Debbie Allen.
Oh, yeah. yep, love Debbie Allen.
Well, she wrote a book called Brothers of the Night. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, actually.
Oh, well, this is about some young men that were, well, let's hear what it has to say. Well, once upon a time, in a little village called Harlem, that's in New York City, there lived a man, Reverend Knight, spelled with a K, like knight in a shining armor. Now, like a knight, he was very good man, a leader in the community who preached powerful sermons every Sunday. He lived with his 12 sons, whom he loved with all his heart. Brooke, Bobby, Joe, Snacky, Gerald, Jackie, Teeny, Tiny, Tappy, Theo, Lazy, Leo, Big Fat Roll, Billy and Willie, and Michael. Now, he was the head of the clan. He was a ladies' man. And, of course, their big dog, Happy, that's me. That's right. I'm a talking dog. It's a magical story. Now, you didn't say anything when that pig was talking in that movie. Shh, quiet. Now, Reverend Knight raised his sons with a firm, loving hand, but a lot was going on that couldn't be explained. Well, the trouble all started when every housekeeper Reverend Knight hired either quit or got fired. Why? Because every morning the brothers' shoes would be worn to the threads, messed up, torn up, stinky, dirty, tacky, jacked up. You get the picture. And, you know, they try to blame it on me. Oh, well, that dog did it. The dog. Well, what did I want with some of the stinky shoes? And let me tell you, that little one's feet smell worse than all of them. Pew! Now, Reverend Knight gave all the nannies a key to lock the brothers in at night. Now, Lizzie, the last nana, even tried pulling slip and slide wax on the floor, so if anybody got up in the middle of the night, they'd make a lot of noise. Now, the only noise we heard was when her big rear end fell down and broke the floor. Well, that's another story. But every night, one peep could be heard from the brothers' room, and they would be sound asleep. The next morning, still every morning, their shoes would be worn to threads, messed up, tore up, stinky, dirty, tacky, jacked up. And if you asked those boys about those shoes, they said they had slept all night, but they hadn't had fun in their dreams. Now, Reverend was at his wit's end. People came from far and wide to hear his sermons, and yet he could solve the problem. In his own home, one day, Reverend Knight put a big two-page ad in Jet Magazine, wanted housekeeper. Experience with boys 7 to 17, bonus trip to Jamaica, if torn up shoes, mystery is solved. Yes, I read too. I can read too. Can you imagine a dog reading? Well, anyway, we got to get back to the story. That Sunday, he preached a powerful sermon, had the people really feeling the spirit, but he didn't let them do too much shouting, thought it was undignified. Now, after the congregation filed out and the brother went to the course, practice, he went into his private room and prayed for guidance and help with the son. Where did I go from here? He asked over and over and over. Now, when the brothers and Reverend Knight returned home from a church, a small woman dressed in a bright color was waiting on their doorstep. She talked like a sweet bird, said, I come to help with the boys. My name is Sunday, Sweet Sunday, because I bake pies and cakes. She had lots of energy, and all her belongings fit in a small bag that was so heavy, even Reverend couldn't pick it up. Now, Sunday took one look at the house, opened her bag, and pulled out all kinds of mops and brooms. She put the brothers to work cleaning, dusting, waxing, mopping, washing windows till they sparkled and shined. The brothers didn't like it one bit. Now, Reverend Knight liked her very much. Ooh, talk about cooking. Her smothering chicken, sweet potato biscuits, and lemon crush cookies were jumped up and down, slapping your own self in the face good. Now, after dinner that night, with the brothers eavesdropping on the grown folks' conversation, Reverend confided that he really hoped that she could solve the mystery of his torn-up shoes. "There's nothing going on that those boys won't tell me." Now, Sunday, taking him by the hand, replied, "Rest your mind, Reverend. I'm sure the brothers will learn to trust me and tell me everything." Now, Reverend sighed and leaned back on the couch with a big old smile on his face. The brothers were having any of this. The oldest, Michael, said, "Let's put her to the test, just like all the rest." The brother put their hands together and made a pact. "Old girl, gotta go." I bet you a lot of you kids have said that to your babysitters. Now, the brothers slept together in one long bed. Now, as soon as Reverend tucked them in the evening and said goodnight, the door was locked. Sunday went right to sleep on the other side of the door. She was snoring like a bear when the cookie man sneaked through the secret doorway in their bed. "Party time," he yelled, shouting, because that's exactly what it was going to do. Now, the brothers, tiptoeing quietly to get dressed, grabbed their dancing canes and started sneaking out through the secret doorway. They didn't know that Sunday had been sleeping with one eye open. She pulled a magic scarf and made her invisible out of her small bag and followed alone. The brothers danced their way across the rooftop, stepping and stumping, and the moon gave way to a magical glow as if they were dancing on the Milky Way. Still invisible, Sunday followed them down a fire escape and down a skinny pole to the Big Band Ballroom, the liveliest dance spot in the world. The girls were already there waiting for the brothers to show. Oh, talk about a party. Sunday watched as each brother matched up with his girl. Even Tiny Tap and Theo had a partner. Charlotte, Theo told me Charlotte was this way, you know, good looking. He doesn't know what Nadine is, but each couple seems to outdance the other swinging. By the end of the night, everybody's shoes were worn to the threads and messed up, tore up, stinky, dirty, tacky, jacked up, and just before the sun came up, can you imagine, boys and girls? They all dashed out to the ballroom. Sunday ran ahead of them, crossed the rooftop. The brothers followed. Sunday hurried through the secret passage, and by the time the brothers got back, she was snoring like a bear on the other side of the door. Now, the brothers pulled their worn-out shoes in front of their bed and went to sleep. Sunday snuck back into the room. Whoa, goodness me, sugar boa. And she made the tore-up shoes vanish and brand-new ones appear. Ooh. Now, when the Reverend came up to wake those boys up, he found all their shoes in front of the bed, clean and sparkling. Sunday was up and cheering, hurrying them to come and eat breakfast. She had baked a special biscuit shaped like shoes. Snack whispered to Michael, "We better keep an eye on this girl." Now, every night for a month, the brothers would sneak out of the ballroom, and every night, Sunday, invisible in her magic scarf, would follow. And every morning, their shoes would be sparkling and brand new, and they checked them to make sure she would sleep before they left and after they got home, and she was snoring like a little bear. They knew she'd been following them, but they didn't know how. Their father was just plain happy. The house was never cleaner, and we never ate better, and I never, and neither, something about this. No more torn up shoes. Best of all, Sunday Sweetness was working a little magic on him. "How do you keep those boys' shoes so clean?" he'd ask her, looking a little starry-eyed, and she'd answer, "Oh, I just stay close to them without getting in their way." Now, finally, the brothers waited for Sunday and got in her face. Michael said, "We know you've been following us," Theo begged. "Please don't tell Dad." Sunday said, "Boys, why do you keep this from him when he loves you so much?" Michael answered, "Dad would never approve of us dancing like that. It doesn't fit with his image in the community." Sunday said, "How do you know? You've never even talked with him about it." Then Tiny Theo piped up, "Grown-ups are too old. You don't get kids what we really like. Besides, none of you can dance anyway." Joe echoed, "Yeah, Mundy, you can't dance." "My name is not Mundy," she replied. Wapoosie, whatever, said Joe as the brothers busted their sides laughing. Well, Sunday broke into a dance routine that went from Jimmy Sly to Fred Astaire to Bob Fosse all the way to Michael Jackson. She kick jumped and swirled all over that room, taught us all a thing or two. That's right, I like to dance too. The brothers could hardly keep up with her and laughing like crazy trying. And that they did. They were friends. That night when the boys went to the ballroom, Sunday went too, and she didn't bother to wear her magic scarf. At breakfast the next morning, she started singing and tapping her feet as she served hot yellow grits. The brothers knew she was waiting for them to talk with their father. They weren't ready. Then, one evening, Reverend Knight noticed me chewing on a torn-up, worn-out shoe. All right. All right. So I chewed one up every once in a while. Now, you know that was the dog. Now, what are you going to do? Arrest me? I have to act like a dog sometime just to make people feel comfortable and feel normal. Well, anyway, Reverend looked and saw another chewed shoe by a foot and another by a tail. He followed the trail to the old pantry, opened the door, and there he saw the torn-up shoe piled high, almost to the ceiling. Well, how was I supposed to know? I'm just a dog. Oh, you people, that's right, always blaming it on the dog. He leads such a hard life. When Sunday and the brothers returned home from the movies, the thought of Sunday leaving, when Sunday and the brother returned home from the movies, Reverend Knight was pacing back and forth in front of all of them. Sunday stared at the brothers, but they didn't say a word, so she stepped forward. Reverend, please don't blame the boys for keeping secrets from you. It's all my fault. I'll pack my things and leave tomorrow, but may I say one thing? He nodded. You have done a fine job raising your sons, but the truth is they don't believe you really want to know how they feel, why they do. Reverend Knight interrupted her. Thank you, Miss Sunday. I know my boys. Of course you do, said Sunday. Goodbye, Reverend. Now, the thought of Sunday leaving pulled at the heart of the father and the boys, but no one was ready to stand up for her except me. I howled and I howled and I put my foot down. Now, the next day, with tears in their eyes, the brothers said goodbye to Sunday. She kissed each one with their suitcase in her hand and left for the bus station. Reverend and the brother went to the church. Then, with the rays of the sun shining on their face and the spirit of love touching his heart, Reverend gave the sermon of his life. Looking right at his son, he preached, he shouted, and he even started to prance, talking about trusting in the Lord and remember how to trust one another. He got carried away, and he did the twist and the mashed potatoes and the monkey time. When he started the funky chicken, the whole congregation sprang to his feet and began to wail. The brothers shouted the loudest. Now, as soon as church was out, the boys rushed to their father. They told the whole story, how they loved to dance, and they snuck out to the big band ballroom, but were afraid he wouldn't approve, and how Sunday had only tried to give them time to face their father. Reverend hugged his sons and asked, "Can you forgive me for keeping something from you?" The brothers looked puzzled. The Reverend Knight said, "I used to be the best dancer at the sock hop. Now we better hurry and try to get Sunday back." Now Sunday was getting ready to board the bus when Reverend was out of breath. He told her how sorry he was and how she needed to come back to their family. The brothers surrounded her and said yes. Well, let the church bell ring. The brothers were so happy they all started dancing, and the people on the streets started dancing and chanting, "There's gonna be a wedding! There's gonna be a wedding!" I had to call my designer and get an outfit. Now, Sunday and Reverend were married, and the reception was at the big band ballroom. What a party it was. Now, treat me like a dog. Put me outside, because somebody went and gave them a cat. I'm telling you, you just can't trust people. The end.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wasn't that a story that the dog told?
All right, Debbie Allen, that was great.
They're always eyes watching.
You never know who it's going to be. You think it's a pet, but they've got everything stored in their head. Well, I think we have some little sleepers, and they might want to hear a song that we always play, Mr. Aubrey, for the kids when they're getting ready to go to sleep, and it's by. And it's called The Star, Corinne Bailey Ray. I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but that song, but it puts our kids in such a great position because their eyes are so heavy and they're trying to fight sleep, Mr. Aubrey. So sometimes we have to play a little something just to help our children get to sleep because they don't want to go.
I can remember.
I know you probably have it. Yes, I know you probably had that same situation at the end of the class. Some of the children don't want to leave.
They don't want to go home. They want to keep dancing.
Well, boys and girls, you don't have to stop dancing, but you can start dancing in the imagination dreamland. And that's where you can certainly fly, like Miss Amazing Grace, as she played Peter Pan. Now, boys and girls, when we listen to Just Like a Star, before we start, we all look out our windows and we see that flickering light, that same flickering light that I see. What is it? Yes, it is a star. It's a star that we can make a wish upon. And now, tonight, we will dream about dancing, dancing into the sky.
Just like a star across my sky. Just like an angel on the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart. Just like oil on my hands. Only to love you. Still I wonder why. Got this look I can't describe. You make me feel I'm alive when everything else is so fake. Without a doubt, you're on my side. Heaven has been away too long. Can't find the words to write this song. Oh, your love.
This is the favorite time of Mommy and Daddy when they see their little ones rest their eyes.
I wonder why. star across my sky, just like an angel off the page. You have appeared to my life, feel like I've never been the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands.
Wow, Mr. Aubrey, I would like for you to share with the boys and girls how they can get on to or come to your show, Mr. Aubrey Show Kids, if you could give them when it is again and the telephone number so they can call you.
Yeah, sure. It's you can go to my website. All the information is there. It's aubreylynch.com. That's A-U-B as in boy, R-E-Y-L-Y-N-C-H, aubreylynch.com. Or you can call 718-612-9386. 718-612-9386. It goes from July 8th through August 2nd. It's Monday through Friday from 1 to 5 p.m. We're going to write a show together, ages 8 to 17. And it's all there on the website.
Well, we are so thrilled that you are here with us, and we want you to be able to come and join us again, although I know that you're real busy, but I think that it was fun. We had a great time, right, Starfish?
Of course. I learned so much about dancing, languages, French. It's been an amazing night.
Yeah, that's why the arts has so many things a part of it: leadership, teamwork, discipline, and etiquette, presentation, like I said, foreign languages, a culture, music, it's all there, and that's why I love doing it, and I'd love to come back and share some more with you.
Wow, we definitely have to have you, because that is a lot that you're packing in. And for the summer, these kids are going to be so thrilled. We want to make sure that we talk to them so that they can be ready and know what to do, because we didn't even talk about what should they do to get ready for your class.
All they do is show up. They can come. We're going to learn everything. But that's the whole point. We're going to learn all about theater and dancing, acting, singing. I mean, we're going to have some special guests. Some, one of my students who booked The Lion King last year. He's now playing young Simba on Broadway right now. His name is Caleb McLaughlin. He'll be visiting us. And my friend who was an original cast member of The Lion King with me, his name is Chris Jackson, who went on to be the star of In the Heights. He's now a music composer, producer, director. He's going to come and write a song with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to visit the Metropolitan Museum and have a lot of fun together.
That is great. And we're going to post all that on our show, too, for all the boys and girls. And some of them won't even be in the area, but they will still love to be able to hear it and watch. And then you can also tell them, what do you do? Like when you even perform, what do you do? Do you have stage fright? How do you work that out?
Oh, yeah. All this talk about, practice, rehearsal, and it feels like walking and like you're flying, and you also get nervous. I get nervous every time I go on stage. Every time I get nervous, butterflies or my stomach tickles. And sometimes when I get really bad, I want to actually go throw up. I don't, but I feel like I'm going to, because I get scared, because, you practice a lot, but there's a lot of people watching, and sometimes you get nervous. I think the nervous is good, though, because it means it's important to you. So when you feel like you get nervous or you want to cry or maybe even do cry, some of my students cry sometimes before they go on stage. It's okay as long as you get up and keep going.
And have a fantastic performance.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So I think that that's really good for the boys and girls to find out that here is a professional, how he even feels. So don't feel like you're alone.
That's right. I think that anyone who likes their job, I mean, maybe you get nervous too sometimes.
Yes. Yes. Mm. We do. Telling the bedtime stories. And Starfish, you know that we always leave a special song for all of our friends, because we have a new friend here. Mr. Aubrey Show Kids.
We definitely have a new friend, and we're so excited.
And we are thrilled that you came to our show to share all the things about being creative.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And here's our song to you.
Love you.
Our kids love you too.
Thank you.
And our song. Yes, Starfish, I believe that this is, we have a friend, and Randy Neiman can only say it like Randy Neiman always says, we have a friend, and we're so thrilled that we do have that. And boys and girls, because we have a friend, you have a friend.
Exactly. We always have a friend on here on Aunt Jewel's radio show every Sunday evening.
Right, at Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And thank you for letting us put you to bed tonight. Dark where you are, boys and girls. It's getting dark here. But our friends in California, it's not quite night yet. But we're putting them to bed. We're going to have that song for you. And boys and girls are very familiar with hearing this song.
Wonderful evening, everyone. Good night, everyone. Good night, Aunt Jewel.
Good night. Good night, and good night, Mr. Aubrey.
Good night. Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams to you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.